Discover the Book, a daily look into the life-changing truths of God's Word with Dr. John Barnett. This is your host, Brian Shoup, here to welcome you to the broadcast today and to express our thanks for your stopping by. So glad you're here. You know, as John leads us through one thrilling and challenging series after another, I see my own life change as I respond to the instruction and reproof and correction of God's Word, but also the encouragement to know that God loved us enough to want to communicate His will to us is just overwhelming. But that's what He did, and that's why we're here again today. But just before he gets underway, let me pass along some important contact information. If you have a question or comments for Dr. Barnett, or if you'd just like to let us know what God is doing in your life, our email address is radio@dtbm.org. And we're always so encouraged when we hear from you. radio@dtbm.org. Or you can call 866-815-2601. 866-815-2601. Now let's get to the book, God's Word. I've said before, and I'm sure you've noticed, that when Dr. Barnett teaches the Bible, he uses the whole Bible, Old Testament and New, front to back. I hope that you're able to follow along as he leads us through these studies. There's nothing like seeing those words for yourself as John reads them over. The words that God himself chose and breathed out through those men of God who wrote them down. The words that God himself protected through many overt and covert attempts to destroy them forever. Words that have been carefully preserved for thousands of years across every continent, every generation, the same words that we open today and let our eyes and our minds and our hearts take in. The Word of God. How easily we take it for granted, and yet what a miracle and testament of God's power over the world and His love for us. If you can't follow along now, jot down the references so you can find them later in review. Don't neglect this miraculous gift we've been given. Ready to hear some more from God's Word? Well, here to open the book for us is our teacher, Dr. John Barnett.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans 15. Our God is a God of hope, and Jesus Christ plans for us to live a life every day of hope. But the more we go into the prophetic scriptures, the harder it is, because they're so gloomy. The world to come is headed for such disaster, such decimation, such extinction. It's hard to balance out studying for very long the prophecies of the end of days and living in hope. It's kind of like the Starbucks people. They say, "What's wrong with you? You know, why are you not in joy?" It's because sometimes things weigh on our hearts. And when we look at the end, it's possible to get weighed down. That's why Paul gives us some great words. He tells the New Testament saints in Romans 15 how to live in the hope that the Old Testament scriptures can teach. Now, it's very special how he says this. And we're going to look at both verses 4 and then on down at verse 13. Because Paul never avoided explaining the prophetic events that were coming. In fact, in the very first epistles that he wrote to the Thessalonians, Paul actually does an exposition of Matthew 24 to them. He talks about the Antichrist, he talks about the desolation of Jerusalem, he talks about all these horrible things we're studying in Matthew 24. But he teaches them that in spite of what's going to happen to this world, that they can lift up their heads, their hearts, and live in hope. And that's what he says in Romans 15 and verses 4 and 13. Let's all stand as we read God's word, and I pray. And I want you to hear Paul balancing these prophetic scriptures of doom with comfort and hope for us to live by. Verse 4 of Romans 15, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures," here it is, "might have hope." Now zip down to verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow together. Lord, as we see the end of days coming, we see them clearly through your word. We don't know just when they're going to occur, because you said the day or the hour, no one knows. But as we see the birth pangs that are going to amplify and multiply and intensify, as we see nearly every one of them that you said would be occurring when you return, and you said the generation that sees all those things will not perish before they occur, then we want to live in hope. And we pray that you, the God of hope, would fill us with hope, that we might abound in hope, that we might be the most hope-filled people on this planet of gloom, and we might not have a false peace and security, which the man of sin will promise this world, but true peace, because you're the God of hope. Fill our hearts, quicken our minds, stir our wills. Help us to make conscious decisions to do what your word says so that we can learn to live in hope. That's what the Old Testament scriptures are to teach us, how to learn to live in hope. So we ask you to do what you have promised. We want to do what you've told us to do, and that is to open our hearts and surrender our wills and let your Spirit have complete control over our lives today so that we can be living in trusting hope in you, our God of hope. And we thank you in the name of Jesus for what you will do in our midst. And in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love, if you glance back at those verses, those three little phrases. Verse 4, might have hope. Verse 13, the God of hope. And then at the end of verse 13, you may abound in hope. Now, how do you get that? It's through the Holy Spirit. He's the energy. He's the power. He's the person that moves in. But what means does he use? Well, look back at verse 4. Because the Hebrew language of the Old Testament is that beginning of verse 4. It says, the things were written before were written for our learning. The Old Testament, the things that were written before, that's the first two-thirds or three-quarters of your Bible, were written for our learning. So those Old Testament scriptures in that Hebrew language give us valuable insights into the way that God can cause us to live in hope when the world around us is gloomy, hopeless. When we see the finish line, when we see the end of days, when we see, as I'm going to share today, that all the world bodies are getting this gloomy, worrisome thing. I mean, this week, the U.S. mayors declared that despite the fact that our president doesn't want to enforce the Kyoto Treaty, that the mayors, 132 of the largest cities in America, have decided they're going to start enforcing in their jurisdiction this Kyoto Save the Earth, Stop the Pollution Treaty. The world is feeling the tremors of what the scriptures talk and call the hoofbeats of the apocalypse, the growing awareness that this world cannot survive if we continue as we're continuing to live on this planet. Well, there are four Hebrew words that give us valuable insights into the way God can make us live in hope. We started a couple weeks ago, I introduced these. Last week we looked at the first one. This week we're going to look at the second one. And I'm going to take you on a scriptural journey and how to be living in the second variety, trusting hope. But let me just show you where we are, because there are four types of hope the Old Testament teaches us, and Romans 15:4 says we're supposed to learn. The first is a waiting hope. That's what we talked about last week, or a recharging hope. Those that wait on the Lord renew or recharge their strength. That is hope that waits until renewal comes. I compared it to like the charger for your phone. I was on so many delayed flights. I'm glad I didn't fly American, because that's, you know, so big here in Tulsa. I was on United, and that's probably why they dropped their pension plan this week, so they were all slowing everything down. But, I mean, I waited 4 hours for one flight, 5 hours for another flight. And you know what happens if you don't have your little plug-in charger for your phone? you watch that little battery, because, you know, I have to talk constantly to Bonnie, you know, because that's why I married her, the one person in the whole world I want to spend all my time with. But I was watching the battery go like that. You know what my phone needed? It needed to be recharged. And that's what kind of hope this is. This is hope that waits. My phone needs to wait until it's connected and it's recharged so it can go on. And that's what we saw last week. Like a charger for your phone, a cradle for your PDA, we plug into God's truth. We believe his word as we wait on the Lord. Then he renews and recharges and refills us with his strength. Now the question I asked you last week, did you wait on the Lord this week? Isaiah 40:31, did you let him renew your strength? Or did you just plunge on talking to a dead phone? You know what I mean? Going through life unconnected to the power of God. You know, we have to wait. We have to be still. We have to rest. We have to let him renew us and strengthen us when we're weak, because we are dissipating in our strength and we cannot make it on our own. We need his strength. Have you plugged into God's word? Have you been still before him on a regular basis? Have you gotten your strength renewed? This morning, the second type of hope, it's trusting or enduring hope. It's hope that trusts until understanding comes. Now, this is a fascinating Old Testament idea that I'm going to show you this morning. We don't think about it because we're in such a hurry. I mean, what I love is people run through the airport. I was in O'Hare, and people are just running madly in every direction. They get up to the counter and they wait. And they look up there, and the flight time, just the departure time, keeps changing and changing and changing. And the same people, as I was tootling along, you know, walking with my little rolly behind me, they're right by me. I find them, one person in front of me in line, sweating, you know, because we don't like to what? Wait. We don't like that. And the Lord is all about waiting. Well, there's trusting or enduring hope, hope that trusts until understanding comes. Now, just to preface where we're going, are you unsure where you are today as far as God's plan for your life? I mean, are there some areas that you're not sure about? Do you ever wonder where God is headed with what he has planned for your future? Do you struggle with his timing, and sometimes you feel trapped, like, God, I want to get there. I want to get, you know, through school, or I want to get married, or I'm ready and waiting for those children, or Lord, when am I going to get launched into ministry? And we just feel trapped, and we just don't know what he's doing. If you ever feel that way, then it's time to let God's word show you what to do while you wait. But we forget the rewards that come as we endure, as we wait in hope.
You're enjoying the teaching of Dr. John Barnett, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can learn more about the ministry at discoverthebook.org, or just stay tuned till the end of today's program.
It reminds me, when I was 1979, when I was just a college student, I was a driver, I was a courier. I took Bibles into Northern Africa, to Muslim countries. It was a very exciting job, unpaid, and if I was caught, you know, they disavowed all knowledge, kind of like, you know, should you accept this mission, we will disavow knowledge, you know, the old Mission Impossible thing we used to watch on Sunday nights. Well, I had an international driver's license, and this missionary needed a driver to take a truckload of Bibles back and forth, and so I agreed to do it. And so I had this whole team of people in this cargo van, and we had 6,000 Bibles, and I was driving, and I would drive all night long, thousands of kilometers around some of the most dangerous roads of the world in Northern Africa. And I remember one time we were in Morocco and we had all those Bibles and we were supposed to deliver them somewhere and everyone was snoring because I was the only driver. And I was driving all night long to the squiggly Arabic I couldn't even read. And I remember that a sandstorm came up and it just started blowing and it was just blinding. And you know, no street lights, you know what Africa's like, in the especially Morocco where we were. And so finally, I mean, I just could see less and less until finally I couldn't even see the road. And so I was just wondering what to do. And I was just praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I think I'm just going to wait and pray. So I just stopped the car on that road in the middle of the night. I mean, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't even pull off. I didn't know where I was. So I just stopped. And I just sat there and I fell asleep. And when it started to get light, I opened my eyes. I couldn't believe it. There was the Atlantic Ocean right in front of me. Because the road had gone like this, and I had gone like this. And I had driven right to the beach. And there was we're in northern Africa in the desert. There was a group of camels walking down the beach in front of me. And we were just sitting like that, facing the water. And everyone was in the back, still snoring away. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Wouldn't it have been exciting to have awakened in the ocean? I mean, that would have woke those sleepers up in the back, but it would have gotten the Bibles wet. And you know what? It was just such a lesson for me that sometimes when we don't know what to do, we should stop and wait. And that's what the scripture is about this morning we're going to look at. Well, the third word we're going to see next time, there's clinging or holding on hope. Hope that reaches out and asks for the hand of God to hold on to. Hope that clings to the hand of God is a child that holds on to the hand of their mom in the doctor's office or their dad in the dark woods at night. Clinging hope that says, you're all powerful, you can carry me through. And the question the Old Testament begs us is, when you don't know how you can make it through life, have you reached up to cling to the one that can help you through? I mean, that's what the Lord talks about, childlike faith. I mean, I spent 2 days with the buddies this week and with all the rest of my family. And it was so sweet when we were out and one of the strongest storms they've had in New England, the fellow we talked to, a contractor, said it was the worst nor'easter he'd seen in his lifetime. I mean, it was so strong you couldn't keep the car on the road, which is normal by the ocean. But, you know, when it was scary, what do children do? They don't have to get their Bible and pull out their verse card and meditate on it. They just reach out and, well, I mean, in thunderstorms, in dark, in fearful times, they reach out. They want to hold your hand. God says, I want you to have that kind of clinging, trusting hope with me. And then the last type of hope is sheltering hope, hope that flees from danger into the loving arms of God. And we're going to see that in a couple weeks. That's the hope that runs for the storm shelters when the disasters of life approach. And it's when we settle in our hearts, there's no place safer when troubles come than fleeing to the open arms of the Lord. Of course, that's the first step of salvation. We have to flee to Him as our only hope, and then we keep fleeing to Him as the one that will take care of us through life. Well, let's go to Matthew 24 and see why I'm even talking about this. Matthew 24, for those of you just joining us this morning, it's about our fifth time looking at the same verses. Matthew 24, verse 21. That's just to give you a flavor of why I'm going on and on about this hope, and why I talk to you about waiting and trusting and clinging and sheltering hope. Because all this wondrously promised hope Jesus gives us in the Old Testament, because verse 21 of Matthew 24 says that there's going to be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And verse 22 says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And basically what the Bible says, it's like birth pangs. It's going to be the same horrific event on the earth. It's just going to get stronger and stronger and faster and closer and more horrible. So that means us who are here before Christ's second coming, before He comes to take us to Himself at the rapture, are going to experience, if you've ever been in a hurricane, probably you haven't here in Oklahoma, but boy, in New England, we went through two of them. You experience the outer fringes of that hurricane, even if you're not hit by it. And that's what I think about the church. We're not ready for the eye of the storm, because we're not going to be here in the tribulation, but we're not ready for the outer fringes that cause similar destruction and hopelessness. And that's why I'm even going through this. We're not going to be here during this time. I truly believe the force of Scripture says that the church of Jesus Christ is going to be taken up as He promised. But we're going to hit the fringes as the storm approaches. And I don't think in America we're ready for what is possibly going to happen to us before Christ comes to take us to Himself. And that's why we need to have hope when we see our world disintegrating. Did you know that America could disappear right off the map and God's program will go on? Would you survive if your house was reduced to 10% of its appraised value today? Would you survive? Or are you hoping in your equity? If your stock investments and bond investments and land investments all were reduced by 90%, would you be going around hopeful? Or would you be like me last week at Starbucks where they say, what's wrong with you? You know, would you lose hope? Think about it. That's what we study this for, even though we're not going to go through this tribulation, because verse 22 says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Now, Jesus, his message in Matthew 24, is paralleled by John, his beloved apostle. Look at Revelation 6. I want to show you how John expands on Christ's sermon. In fact, Revelation 6 parallels point by point the seals of Revelation 6 parallel the items that Jesus sees in Matthew 24. And if you want to have a fun study, look at Matthew 24 and fit the seven seals of Revelation in there. And what you get is kind of a technicolor enlargement of what it's kind of like in the picture, how you can go to Walmart, you know, and take your little picture and just get a little bit of it and blow it up. Well, Revelation blows up and magnifies the big picture of Matthew 24. And so when you get to chapter 6, and I want to show you especially what Jesus says in verse 8, I want to show you how bad it's going to get in Christ's sermon of Matthew 24 and verse 22, as John says this in Revelation 6, 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given over them, over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Wow. Now that's a pretty hopeless scene, that in one event, every fourth person on the planet dies. I mean, the tsunami was 300,000. That's really nothing compared to 6 billion people. This is a fourth. That's why it's hopeless. This is just one event. This isn't all. There are more big events. This is just one. That's why it's hopeless. But the approach of this pale rider of verse 8 may be on the horizon, according to the United Nations. Now, they are not a Bible prophecy outfit, I'll tell you that much. But on March 30th of this year, they had a public reading of a report, and I want to read to you their report. This was the report that was read to the United Nations called the Millennial Commission. And they commissioned 1,360 scientists in 95 countries to assess the planet. So they had the majority of the nations on earth represented by their leading scientific members of their communities, and they were due to an assessment of the condition of the earth. And this is the title of the report. 2/3 of world's resources used up. The sound of the pale horse's hoofbeats are getting louder. The human race is living beyond its means. A report backed by 1,360 scientists from 95 countries, some of them world leaders in their fields, concludes that the human race has used up 2/3 of the world's resources. But here's the bad part. This is what the report says. Most of the resources have been used up since World War II, since 1945, since the last 60 years have gone by. If you are 60 or older, you have lived through the consumption, according to the scientists of this world, the consumption of 2/3 of the available resources on this planet. Now, I know that there's enough natural gas in western Oklahoma to supply the whole country for 200 years. I'm talking about at the current rate of consumption, the United Nations says that the resources, and they chronicle them, I'll go through it. Robert Watson, the British-born chief scientist of the World Bank, the former advisor to the White House, was the one who delivered this report, and he claims that mankind is using up all of our natural resources at too fast a rate, and he produced a 6-point indictment against the human race. And this is what this British scientist living in America, he drew up 6 points of his indictment that say is going to lead to the extinction. Wow. Now the broken clock twice a day is right. The Bible already says that human life's going to go extinct if God doesn't intervene. But now the broken clock of the world community is saying extinction of the human race is coming. So because of this, the study contains a stark warning for the entire world. The wetlands, the forests, the savannas, the estuaries, the coastal fisheries, all the habitats that recycle our air and water and nutrients for every living creature on the planet are being irretrievably damaged. Here's what the report said. One species, the one that's sitting in this room, is now a hazard to the other 10 million species on the planet. How do you like that? We're the problem. But God made this for us to live in, and we're destroying it, they say. The study concludes by saying we've plundered the ocean's bounty, we've destroyed the seabed's riches, we're running out of sources of food, we're running out of fresh water, and all because of this misuse of nature, we're plunging toward the threat of killer plagues and epidemics. And the startling thing is this overconsumption is most notable in the last 60 years.
Thanks, John. And may we receive the word engrafted into our hearts so that we will be changed by what we've heard today. And dear friend, if God's word for you is just another book, maybe it's because you've never met the author. But the good news is, he's ready to meet you. The main story of this book is his love for you and the great price that he paid for your sins on the cross. The offer that he now extends to you is, admit your sin and your need of a Savior, believe that when Jesus died, he died for your sins, and cast your hope of eternal life entirely on what he did for you, not on turning over a new leaf or getting your heart right. You can never do that. Just trust that what Jesus did for you is enough. Period. Then, as a redeemed child of God, destined for heaven by God's grace, you will want to please him with every second of your life, and your life will have new meaning and purpose like you've never known. And please let us know if you decide to do that. We always love to hear what God is doing. Our email address is radio@dtbm.org. Our phone number is 866-815-2601. 866-815-2601. Discover the Book is a faith-based ministry, and as such, we depend on the Lord's provision of airtime purchased by donations made by you, the listeners. We thank you for your faithful support of Discover the Book, and we will continue to air the broadcast as long as the funding allows. And as always, for any donation made on our webpage, we'll send you this entire series on one MP3 CD. Thanks again for joining us today. Hope to see you next time. Until then, we'll pray that you will, wherever you are on life's journey, discover the book.